Chapter 97. Sierra Leone. "Hey," Daryl called over to Lynn as he made her phone come to life. "What's the code?" Lynn scowled at him. He could see the cogs turning in her mind, but he wasn't worried. He knew she was going to give up the code.
4268,
Lynn muttered before bowing her head. Daryl smiled at her and she turned away, but he kept smiling in her direction. He was trying to get confidence anywhere he could. If he could only control a tiny bit of Los Angeles, he was going to make sure it was this rooftop. He keyed in the numbers and the phone unlocked. A song came into his head, and he let himself get sucked into the moment. "Diamonds are forever," Daryl sang loudly as he went to the phone app. Everyone turned to look at Daryl, and he could feel their eyes on him, his cheeks flushed with embarrassment.
"What the fuck?" Sarah whispered to Lynn.
4268, Lynn said as she rolled her eyes. "The code to my phone is in the shape of a diamond."
All the power he had left drained out of him as he copied Jake's number into Lynn's phone. "You know how to work that model?" Ryan said as he sidled up to Daryl. For the first time, he was happy that the little rat-faced fucker was on the rooftop with him. The girls had seen him for the fool he was, but the weasel, he was still trying to be his best friend. "Of course I do, motherfucker," Daryl said as he pressed buttons. "You think I'm stupid?"
No, not at all," Ryan stuttered. I just noticed that the phone you were using was a little dated."
Daryl stood up and bared his teeth as he hovered over Ryan. He wanted to punch the living shit out of him. It wasn't because Ryan annoyed him. It was because Sarah might appreciate it. Ryan was easy meat and Daryl had to be the shark, keep moving and keep being the rooftop's apex predator. It didn't take long for Ryan to realize that his presence may have a severe effect on his health, so he slithered away, and Daryl nodded slowly as he put Lynn's phone to his ear.
"Where the hell are you?"
Daryl bellowed into the phone after a few seconds. There was no reply on the other end of the phone, just screams.
"Jake!"
Daryl yelled into the phone. Sarah flinched and looked towards Daryl.
"Help us!"
screamed a distant female voice.
"Who is this?"
Daryl said, perplexed.
"Help!"
screamed a male voice this time.
"You gotta help us!"
Daryl looked at the phone's screen for a moment and then compared it to his phone before putting it back to his mouth.
"Oh, yeah? You want me to help you?"
Daryl said stiffly and then made a big show of pressing the end call button on the phone.
"Fucking fat fingers," Daryl said with a laugh. "I put the wrong fucking number in."
Daryl offered a big grin to the group, but it disappeared as soon as he saw that no one was looking at him. Even Ryan had gotten the message and distanced himself. Daryl walked over to the edge of the building and spat down onto the street. He wasn't sure why he kept looking to them for attention. They definitely weren't his biggest fans, and he understood completely. No amount of shutting down of Ryan was going to dig him out of the hole he had dug for himself. He was about to put Jake's actual number into Lynn's phone when a text message came through. It was from some guy named Mark, and Daryl turned his head to Lynn. She was on the other side of the rooftop and hadn't heard the notification sound. He thought about telling her, but that would mean giving back the one thing he had that everyone else didn't.
"Jesus," Daryl whispered to himself as he read the message. "That's some fucked up shit."
Daryl scrolled up to see what had taken place in the messages previous to Mark's response.
"Woof,"
Daryl said as he snuck another look over at Lynn. It was all one-way traffic. All the messages started and ended with Lynn. There was not one response from Mark other than the one he had just sent. There were cute good morning and good night messages, hot naked pics captioned with "I miss you," pics of her blowing other dudes captioned with "fuck you," messages asking for him to pay late child support, messages asking him to see Ava, and finally, messages asking him for help because they were stuck on a rooftop in the middle of the zombie apocalypse. All the messages had been left on red and went back years, so Daryl wondered why this fucking scumbag had waited till this exact moment to reply to her. The message from Mark read, "Lynn, I'm sorry you were in a tough situation, but I can't help you. With the help of the Lord and my family and friends, I've been going to AA and it's been great. I'd really appreciate if you ceased all communication with me or my family for the time being while I focus on them and start being a proud and productive father and husband. I hope you understand this isn't about us. Take care, Mark."
Daryl knew no good would come of sharing this message with Lynn. She had gotten this far and seemed to be doing okay. A message of this magnitude during this clusterfuck would definitely not end well. He deleted the message without a second thought. The sound of a car coming down the street made Daryl look up from Lynn's phone.
"Who's this fucking guy?" Daryl said to no one in particular.
The car screeched its tires as it avoided hitting a zombie that had strolled into its path. The horn beeped and the zombie didn't move, so it kept beeping and more zombies came from the shadows to surround the car.
"Now you've done it," Daryl said to himself. "If that's you, Jake, you're never going to hear the end of this."
The car was a Chevy Impala, definitely not Jake's Trans Am, but Daryl thought Jake probably would want to use something a bit more reliable in this situation. Daryl had texted his location to Jake earlier, and he had gotten no response, but that was standard for Jake, especially in a crisis. The others on the rooftop heard the beeping and quickly got to their feet. The car finally reversed away from the zombies and went around them as it came down the street toward the rooftop, still beeping like an asshole. Just like Jake.